Welcome to These Are Good Days with Lee Ann Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, guess who I just saw?
Who?
Aunt Gigi.
Aunt Gigi.
Listen, Aunt Gigi, you really got to know Aunt Gigi very, very quickly.
I love Aunt Gigi.
Yeah, we went on vacation when you were but a young youth pastor.
I was probably 24.
None of the kids were married. Jesse, Amanda, and Andrew, all three of the kids that were on vacation in Gina's family are all married with children now.
That's horrible.
Okay,
but do you
remember when Aunt Gigi was going tinkle tinkle in the bathroom and she had the door cracked? Like, because we just have a habit of keeping the door a little bit open because we're still talking. Yeah. We're talking to each other. Well, you didn't realize she was there.
She scrambled. Those little bird legs scrambled. Have you ever
flung the door open and there she was sitting going tinkle and you were horrified.
Have you ever seen someone with just the skinniest little bird legs sitting on a potty and looks like their knees are about up to their chin? That's what she looked like as she scrambled. I mean, it looked like a baby duckling on ice. She was slip sliding around on that tile floor. She didn't know what to do. But you know what, Aunt Gigi? You better shut the door.
Aunt Gigi.
We had a lot of fun with Aunt Gigi.
That's my good day. I just this last weekend spent the weekend with my childhood girlfriends. Yeah. We've known each other since the fifth grade, and two of them have known each other since kindergarten. And we made it an intentional effort about 15 years ago. Oh, it was at least 15 years ago that we see each other usually once in the summer and once in the winter. And we're together and we catch up. Now it's really kind of based around like getting to all the weddings and all the babies and all the showers and all of that. But, you know, there's just something like Ben Rector says,
I just wrote that down.
No, you did not.
I wrote Old Friends, song.
That song, Old Friends. Put it in the show notes, Matt.
There's something about Old Friends.
Can you put that song in the show notes?
I think we need to talk about the show notes because you really want them, but you don't do them.
No, I don't.
You just want them.
But that song, there's nothing like Old Friends.
Yeah, and it's so special. And you know, you're... friendships evolve and change, and they can look different, and you can go through times of hard times and great times with friends, but at the end of the day, you will never make old friends.
Yeah.
That's just not how time works. It's linear, you know?
Yeah, it's true. And we've just known each other for so long, and we've just had each other's backs.
Well, you remember here on this very podcast, you gave me a little Laura Jean's lunchbox.
Yes.
With Mickey Mouse on it.
Exactly. It's got
right over my shoulder now. I just checked.
And it's got, could you put that in the show notes? I'm kidding.
No, I'm not putting that in
doesn't
the show.
It doesn't have a piece of tape.
Has her name on it.
Laura Jean.
Yeah, it does.
Those are
your old friends.
Yeah, Laura Jean, Linda Sue, and Gina Lynette.
That's right. Those Southern girls from Lynchburg.
Two of them live in the Lynchburg area, and Laura Jean lives in Richmond, Virginia. Yeah. And I'm the only Yankee.
Well, here's my good day. Is our school is really good. You know, we're this little school kind of in between Columbus and Cleveland, if you're driving on the highway. We're really good at robotics. We have a teacher that's really good at instructing in like coding and robotics.
What's that called?
I don't know.
No,
I said all the words I know.
STEM.
Yeah.
Okay.
STEM.
They always have to have these acronyms.
I know.
In
education, we all got the acronyms. IEP.
What does STEM stand for?
Science, technology, engineering, arts, I think, and music, or architecture and music. Music.
Music.
The last one.
Okay. All right.
But it's kind of encompassing some of those hands-on.
The cousins came to go to it.
Well, that's my good day.
Okay.
Is a couple months ago, my sister was like, "Hey, your boys loved that robotics camp. If they have space, could we come up from South Carolina?"
That's awesome. The
teacher in charge of it said yes. And so my sister and her boys came up for a week. And in the morning, they had robotics camp from 9 to noon. And then we just got to see them.
I love it.
We, you know, they went garage sale. I didn't get to do it all because I'm still working.
You guys did the movies. But you did the garage movies. Sailing.
We did garage sales.
And I know that Grammy B was pulling out all the stops with the food.
Well, listen.
I know she was.
On high on the list.
Did she make waffles?
No. Not yet. Okay. I mean, no.
Okay.
But here's the thing. What's always high on the list, and I can put this in the show notes because I know you're going to ask me to, is Paula Deen's banana pudding recipe.
Yes.
Have you had this at my mom's house?
Yes, your mom has made it. It's with those...
With the Chessmen cookies.
Yeah, the Chessmen cookies.
Pepperidge Farm, if you're listening.
Pepperidge Farm, if you are listening, come on.
Yeah, I even went to a Pepperidge Farm outlet in Columbus.
Did you buy the cookies for your mom?
Cookies.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Right. Is there a Pepperidge Farms outlet in Columbus?
Yeah,
I'll tell you about it.
I'm not putting that in the show notes. I decide what goes in the show notes. I'm in charge of the show notes. And so
I was sending you links today.
Oh, Brandy, my Lanta.
Put this in the show notes.
Oh, the show notes. It's like we've unleashed a monster in you with the show notes, you know. But anyway.
I want everybody to experience what we love.
I know. The show notes. And so what our weeks look like, it's a lot of spending time at my mom's house. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of kids playing outside.
Listen, this is what memories are built on.
Yeah. And you know what happens every time? My kids cry. My kids cry when they leave.
Yeah.
We're going to see them in about 6 weeks. So do not despair.
But they'll still cry.
But they're still going to cry.
6 weeks for a kid, it seems like a real long time.
It does seem like a long time. Yeah. So anyway,
listen, it's so good that they love each other so much.
Yes, I know. They do. They enjoy their time together. So yeah, it's my sister. It's her kids. It's spending time together here in Ohio.
So
it's all good.
Hey, listen, we're going to do a segment today.
I know. Listen, here's what I have to say about this segment.
Okay.
We have built a brand. We have built a brand. These are good days about goodness and love and joy.
Yes, yeah, that's true. We try to keep it positive up in here. We do.
Even when we're spicy, are we making innuendos?
Yeah, but sometimes.
We're human.
We've got to talk about what grinds our gears.
Listen, we human.
Yeah. What's grinding your gears, Matt?
Well, Ian, I'll tell you.
Okay.
It is slow walkers. Why are we walking so slow?
Because we're old.
No. Listen, hear me out. I'm getting ready to go to Disney.
Yeah. You want everybody to walk fast?
Well, like a little more pep in our step wouldn't hurt anybody. Here's the thing. If you're a slow walker, here's what I would love. If I could.
I'm against
it. Stop. Think, listen,
okay,
you need
right,
to hear.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
You know, what's happened to the we listen and we don't judge movement? I need that from you right now. Here's what I have to say. If you're going somewhere and you are going from point A to point B, and you know, I'm gonna just enjoy my time. I'd like for you to, in your brain, make a slow lane. Make a slow lane.
Like move over.
Just go to the right.
Okay.
It's when there's lines of people that are all so slow.
Okay.
And they're just blocking places and they're indoor. Like, we got things to do. We got three kids. We're still hustling for health benefits over here. We got lots going on. We're going to Disney. Here's the thing. I would love, in general, hallways, roads, sidewalks. Let's walk on the right.
All walk slow on lane, the right. Fast lane. Okay.
Yeah. And just in general, walk on the right like we do in this country.
Is there anything wrong with coming up behind a slow walker and saying, excuse me?
It feels weird for me, but it's probably okay.
Yeah. I would say that you need to unleash.
I prefer a little bit more of a discreet, like mall walk vibe.
I think you should give yourself permission and unleash the excuse me as you're walking behind someone slow.
But then I
want you to try it.
But does the receiver of that feel like man, they think they've got more to do than me.
The receiver feels like, oh, I'm walking slow and I am standing in the middle of the da-da-da-da.
Sure.
And they'll say, okay. Oh, sorry. And they'll move over.
Well, here's what I want to say too. Like, I realize this is not the kindest part of my soul. And I don't need a DM about it. I don't need to know if you're like, don't defend slow walking. It's okay.
Listen,
I love them.
I'm going to tell you that. I probably fit into the slow walker category.
Well, you, oh I'm Lord, just, have I, we, we've ta- we haven't talked about your driving in a while. Your driving is so slow.
Well, I've just been in a hurry all my life. And I just decided about 8 years ago, I don't need to hurry anymore.
Well, 8 years? Oh, my word, lady. You've given up so fast.
Yeah, I'm just not going to hurry.
I have to say, similar to this conversation, you a couple months ago said, I don't think I'm ever going to go to New York City. And I was like, what are you talking about? You're like, it's just too fast.
You're like, were you invited? I'm like, no, I just don't think I'm going to go.
But we had so much fun in New York City.
No, it's just too much.
You give up really easy.
It's just too much.
For someone who's so resilient.
I don't need it.
Yes, you do.
You need theater. You need the pizza. I've got Netflix, Hulu, and Prime.
Listen, you're giving up. You're too young for this. My mother would go to New York City in a New York minute with me.
No, I don't think I want to do it.
Oh, okay. Well, fine. You're missing out. You can stay home in your recliner.
Okay. You want to hear what's grinding my
ears? Yeah, tell me.
Okay. Now, this is really for, I believe, Gen X and baby boomers. So I'm a Gen Xer. Baby boomers are older than me.
You really want to talk about this?
And this is in this age group that does this. We are the guilty parties. I don't see it as much with the 20s, 30s. I don't see it with the Gen Zers and the millennials as much. But when you're advertising your business on a sign, when you spend the money on a sign, now you're spending a lot of money on a sign.
Okay.
Please do not put something like clothes, accessories, and so much more. Stop the so much more. No, don't put so much more on anything. So much more of what? Like we're guessing. You're making us guess.
This bothers you?
Oh, it grinds my gears. When I see it on a sign or in a commercial, it's even worse. You're spending so much money on that commercial and you're going to put so much more.
Do you have a business that does this that you can think of?
I could probably name five.
Well, just one.
Well, I'm not going to name them.
Oh, Lordy.
But don't on your
like,
sign.
Like, is it like a grocery store? Much more. Is it like, what places are doing this?
Lots of different places. Like we carry blah, blah, and so much more. Stop that. Stop it. Because listen, we don't know what the so much more is. So you're wasting words on that sign.
What a thing to get mad about.
It just bothers me every time I see it. Maybe it's my marketing degree. I don't know. But stop it. Stop putting so much more on this.
Wow. I'm so sorry.
Like, don't say we carry meats, cheese, ice cream, and so much more. So much more of what? Socks? Like, what are you carrying so much more of? So that grinds my gears. That has grinded my gears.
So you want them to say we carry
forever?
Wow. So you were born an old lady. You were born like this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like meats, cheeses, and other grocery items.
Yes.
Would that suffice for you?
Yes. No, so much more.
No, so much more. No, so much more.
I might put that on a teacher. Stop with the no, so much more.
No, so much more.
No, so much
no
more.
No, so much more.
No, so much more. Stop it. All right, I'm done.
Oh, and now we're back. We're
now
happy.
We're back. Okay.
What are we talking about today?
Hey,
here's what I want to explore with you. This kind of came out of recently I was in Columbus. And, you know, in my travels, I keep my eyes open for things I think you would love.
Yes.
Because I feel like...
And you don't waste my time on things you think I would like.
I don't. No, I don't. I don't have time for that.
No, you don't.
No, because you
know...
Because I'm walking fast.
And also, I just purged.
Yeah, you
purged. A big old house in 2018.
That's right.
I do not want to purge again.
I saw that basement.
You saw that basement.
I saw that Christmas
stuff. You were
part
of that. That was traumatic.
It was.
That was the great purge of 2018. Yeah. It was a lot.
Yeah.
I want to be very careful what I bring in my house.
Yeah, it's true. It has to be good.
Yeah.
So on my travels, I was in a really great store in Columbus. Mm-hmm. It's called Magpie Market in Upper Arlington in Columbus.
Magpie Market, if you are listening.
I know, Magpie Market. Maggie,
I'll
put it in the show notes. Just Maggie, will you tell Magpie Market that we are talking about them
and
we love them?
Yes.
But this place, it's one of those, I don't even know what to call it. It's almost like a cross between a consignment and a antique booth
place. So would they put like thrifting, antiquing, and so much more?
No, they would never do that. Never. Not magpie. They would never.
Never.
So I came across some really great things that I thought, oh, these remind me of Leanne. Yeah. And they were unique.
I bought them.
And they're really cool. And I FaceTimed you and said, hey, do you want these? Because these are really, really cool.
And I said, yes, yes, I do.
And it just made me think a lot about what we bring into our home and what it means to us and how it supports our environment and what like what it does for us. Because I know for you, you've been on a little bit of a journey of intentionality.
Yeah.
And I would say for us, Mallory and I, we Mallory is really great at this because Mallory has said for years, she's like, I just buy things that I like, that I know that I like. And I put them in different places. And when I want to like refresh my house, I move them around. But I think there is something connected to the items that are in our home. And I think there's something deeper to it because I think our home is a reflection of who we are. I think our home speaks to how we want people to feel when they come inside. So if you were to come in my home right now, besides
you would feel like you might have bought a off-market ticket to Disney.
You shut your mouth. I thought that was going to be something nice, but it wasn't. Do you, when you walk into my living room in the front door, do you feel like you're in Disney World? How actually dare you?
Well, actually.
How? I thought it was going to be nice, but it was a backhanded compliment. Yeah, you can keep laughing. I'll let this silence linger. I'm not afraid. When you walk in, I can't let the silence linger. It actually drives me crazy. When you walk into our home, like our walls are like pastel pink. We have a big cozy teal couch.
You just did that color recently, which I loved that addition of that color.
And I feel like our home reflects Mallory and I's personality in regards to how curious we are and how fun we are and how life-giving we are. And I think, you know, your house does reflect who you are. And we do, all jokes aside, Disney is something that we love and we are very specific. This is the funny thing that people wouldn't know is I am specific about the things that I enjoy.
You don't want anything Disney.
No, if it's like circa 1995 plastic head Mickey doll, no thank you. If it's like 1970 and it's like a cool vintagey vibe, like the thing, the Minnie Mouse that you got me.
Yeah, very cool.
Like those things are things that I feel like reflect my personality. You know, even here in the podcast studio, I have a whole wall dedicated to Disney records that are like old and cool and vintagey. And I feel like our home can be an extension and a reflection to us. Do you think for you... Do you have sentimental attachments to things?
Pretty much everything in my house. Pretty much. I mean, like there are things, there are pieces of furniture that if I need to go buy a new couch or the two new swivel chairs, like if I need a new swivel chairs, I can part with those.
Sure.
But things like my dining room table, Daryl built
right,
me that.
Right.
I'm not parting with that. The hutch that's in our dining room was the first piece of furniture my mom and dad bought. I don't ever want to part with that. If I part with that, it's going to be give to one of the boys.
You have a picture by the drink station that means something to you, right?
I have a picture by our beverage area that was my grandmother's. She was the wife of a dairy farmer, and that picture hung in her dining room all of my growing up.
Yeah.
And so I would say the artwork, I would say ways that you can really express who you are in your house. And I would encourage you to do this instead of, you know, I think getting things at Hobby Lobby and at Home Goods, listen, if that's where you're at in your life and in the season you're in right now, great. But I think I would encourage you to go thrifting, to go antiquing and look for those things that speak to you.
Yeah.
That are like, oh, that I love. Even when you go to Home Goods and Hobby Lobby, wait for the thing that really you just... You're going to think about that thing for a week.
Right, right, right.
And have to go back and buy it. That's kind of my litmus test is like if I keep, I'm going to do a circle. I'm going to go around in the store. If I keep thinking about it or if I leave the store and I keep thinking about it, I'll go back 2 days later or 3 days later. That's kind of like my my gauge for if I want to bring it home or not, because, you know, we live in a much smaller house, and so I can't just be, I can't just be bringing anything.
I mean, when
home.
I get something Swan and you say yes, it makes me pretty proud, because I do know how picky you are.
Yeah, I am. I am. I'm just not any old Swan.
Right.
Like, you showed me a beautiful, oh my gosh, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful green
glass. Like, was it glass?
It was glass. It was, yeah. It was gorgeous Swan. And I'm like, nope. No,
yeah, no room.
I don't have the room. Yeah. It's beautiful. Let somebody else find it. But that Swan candelabra thing you found.
Cool.
Very cool.
You should link that in the show notes.
I've never seen anything like that.
Here's what I think too. Our home is often a reflection of our identity. It's a reflection of who we are. It shows our values. You know, if you look around our home, I would hope that you would see that there are pictures of our children around, that you would see that we are whimsical people, that we're joyful people, that we're colorful people. And it shows our memories and it shows kind of our, you know, our hopes and our dreams for the future in some regards.
Yeah.
It shows, you know, we have a lot of pictures of groups of people.
I also love your new couch.
Thanks. I even think the furniture reflects who we are. I would hope that our house says sit and connect, sit and stay a while. Yeah. We want to chat with you.
I'm so glad that white couch is gone. It wasn't white.
How dare you, actually.
It was like taupey. Wasn't it?
Well, it was white.
But
you said it wasn't anymore. our home, here's something else that I think is important about our home, is that it fosters security for us. You know, I think sometimes when we think about the objects in our home, what is important about it is it's those familiar and beloved objects to us can provide a sense of stability, a sense of security. You know, when you see, we have a baker's hutch in our home. It was my wife's grandma. Oh, I can't get that out. It was her mom's. And it was in her home, her childhood home. And when her parents downsized, she said, I would really like to have that. And I think there's connections to who we've been in our past. Yep. And I think that gives us a sense of grounding. You know, I came across this when I was doing a little bit of research about objects in our home, is that objects can serve, I've never heard this before, as memory anchors for our life.
Oh.
So it's, they call this term memory anchor is really curious to me. It's tangible links to specific events, people's feelings in our life. You know, and we totally tease about Disney for sure. And that's fine. But here's what it is for me sometimes, is it's when I see things that remind me of trips with my kids. Those are such fun and happy moments that we've had.
And it's
where they've discovered things and they've had senses of wonder and excitement and joy. And it truly does bring me back to those moments with our kids.
Well, it's building something within your kids. That anchor is a good word. It's going to anchor them to memories that you all have had together. And the things in your home that you've picked Disney, it's just reinforcing those memories. It's reinforcing how special Disney is to your family and to those memories, for sure.
You know, I was talking to my sister about this when she was in town, and my sister is not a stuff person. She is a minimalist person. She regularly cleans her house out because she just doesn't really enjoy clutter and unnecessary things, where I'm a little bit different.
Well, you're a maximalist.
I am. I'm a maximalist. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I will die under heaps of things. That's fine. Not a hoarder. There's a difference. But my sister, I asked her if she has sentimental attachments to things.
To anything.
And the only thing she brought up that I thought was really interesting is our whole childhood, in the back of my dad's car, in the trunk, was this blanket. It was like a felt blanket with this silk orange trim on it and had orange flowers on it. And it was kind of like just an emergency blanket, a picnic blanket.
Right.
If we stopped somewhere, we would get it out and throw it on the ground. We would use it in the backyard. And my sister got that car when she was in high school from my dad.
Okay.
When she started driving.
And
the blanket was in the trunk. And she has kept that with her to this day.
Oh.
Our whole, pretty much, that blanket's probably been over 40 years in our family.
Wow.
And it's interesting because she doesn't have a lot of connections to things, but there are some things for her that are really special.
Yeah.
You know, there are certain things. I asked my mom about this too. One thing she brought up was a pan that she has in her kitchen. So in my dad's family, chicken paprikash was a very beloved dish. His parents were from Hungary and Germany, and my mom learned how to make that meal.
You're from Sturdy Stock.
Oh, Sturdy Stock.
Germans. Yeah. Those Germans.
Yeah, we're rough.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm German,
I'm pretty
too.
Soft now, though. So when my mom learned how to make this, her father-in-law, made her a pan to make spätzle. And she has that. And that's something that every time she uses it and eats that meal, it reminds her of good times with my dad and with his family and those kinds of things. And so I think those memory anchors, when you look around your home or when you look at the things that you've acquired, I think sometimes the things that we bring into our life can serve as grounding pieces for us to say,
that's so good.
This is who I am.
I never thought of it
this
that way.
This is where I've come from.
I love the anchoring word.
Yeah, this is how far I've come in my journey. You know, I think I told you this a couple months ago. I came across a journal, and journals are a little different because I'm actually writing my thoughts. But I had a journal from the time when I was leaving the church. And just to read through that brought back so many memories and so many emotions. And there are things along the way that just anchor you to those big moments in time. And I think stuff can do that for us. Mm-hmm, and I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it can be a really beautiful and a really, really
for
good
sure.
thing.
I heard, in my breakfast club, Missy and Rhonda lost both of their parents. And when they were dispersing of, and I thought this was so clever, when they were dispersing of their parents' things, they all sat at a table together, all the siblings, all the girls. They had a brother who passed away, so he's no longer alive, but the girls all sat at a table and they would put an item, and these were things that were special to them.
Yeah.
And not necessarily things that were expensive.
Sure.
You know, they put an item in the center of the table and they would either roll dice or they would pick
like a
name out of the hat of who would get that item. That's what it was, name out of the hat. And they would go around and make sure each person's name, I can't remember exactly how it was done, except for it would be that person's turn. I can't remember, Matt, but somehow they did it where it was by the luck of the draw. Mm. You know, you didn't choose, well, they got that item.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget this part of the story because I thought, wow, isn't that something? Their dad was a singer and he sang like in gospel music quartets and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he had one of those,
pitch pipes.
The thing you for being on key. Mm-hmm. And they all wanted it.
Aww.
And so they rolled the dice or drew the name or whatever it was. And they all cried. And and Missy and Rhonda were telling me that they cried because they were so happy for the sister that got it, but they were also so sad for themselves.
That's really
sweet. And I think there are items like that you can kind of point to that you say, that item is so special to me. Mm. It doesn't cost that much.
Sure.
It's not that it's even that expensive.
Sure.
But it just has a memory or a feeling attached to it that just means a lot.
Sure. Yeah. You know, we, last summer, when we were in Florida, we went to my grandma's house, Nanny. And my grandpa had passed away 4 years ago, and she's been slowly giving away things of his and of theirs.
I know.
And
I love that she's doing it in her own time.
It's yes.
Good. That's good. That's so healthy.
And so we were just in her home, and, there were things that she was like, oh, how do you feel about this? Blah, blah, blah. I didn't have a lot. The beautiful part about my relationship with my grandfather is it's totally built on memories that I have in my head. Mm-hmm. So pictures are important to me. But there was one thing that I was like, I really wanted this. And I spoke up and I said it to her, and, it was a bench that he made. If you would see it, it wouldn't really mean, it's just like what we've been saying. It wouldn't really mean a whole lot of things to a lot of people, but my grandpa was a really skilled woodworker, and it's like a 3 foot long bench that we put shoes under it and we sit on it to tie our shoes, like that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it probably wouldn't mean a whole lot to anyone else, but it just reminds me of my grandpa and it reminds me of how he worked hard and he made benches for lots of people. And For whatever reason, I never got one. Other people in the family had gotten one. But I don't know if he just never got around to it. I'm not really sure the story there, but there were a couple left, and I said, I'd like one of those. And she gave it to me and I got to bring it home, and it sits by our front door now.
Yeah, I love that.
And those kind of things are special to me because it's an anchor to my story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an anchor to a person that I love.
It's good.
And it's part of my legacy and the people that have invested in me.
And also, Matt, I think when you, I think when you fill your home with things that you love and that you appreciate and you enjoy, or things that are old and have a story, I want to be home. You know this about me. Like, I'm a home person, but part of the reason I want to be home is because I've created an environment that I love to be sitting in.
Totally.
You know, I hope that we're never in a home that doesn't have a roaring live fire in the winter.
Sure.
Because that's something that I feel lends toward coziness and lends toward feeling just warm and invited and comfortable.
Sure.
You know, so I do think it's important that when you are accessorizing your home, when you're putting things in your home, that you're doing it with, that you're doing it with intentionality.
Yeah.
That when you look around, you're like, oh, I love being here.
100%.
I love this. Yes.
You know, there's one more thing that popped into my head is my wife, Mallory, and our counselor friend, Kat, were roommates when I met my wife. And that's how
that's where the couch came from.
Yeah, Kat slept on that couch. That's how you and I acquired Kat as a friend, was through Mallory.
Yes.
And when they lived together, Mallory had ironically taken a visit to Amish country, where we would live someday together. But years prior to that, she took a trip to Amish country, stopped in an antique store, and she bought this little hutch.
Yes.
It's like a little...
It's so cute.
Maybe 1960s hutch that has glass inlay with some etching on it of flowers.
Yellow.
And it's bright yellow. And she didn't paint it. She's never painted it. It was just that color. She brought it home, and it sat in their home. When Mallory and I met and got married, Mallory moved out, and the hutch came into our home. And Kat came across within, I would say, maybe a year.
Wild.
Came across something very, very similar,
almost,
not identical.
Yeah, almost exact same.
It was not the yellow color, but she painted it. I cannot put it in the show notes. It's an antique. But she painted it that yellow color to match Mallory. To match the memory and the sentiment of that time
in
her life.
It's an anchor. Yeah.
It is a memory anchor. And I love those moments in our life where we can point to an object. You know, I was actually thinking about this. This could be a whole other episode. You know, when I think about my mom's not a stuff person. I'm going to think about, you know what I'm going to think about?
Food.
Food.
Yeah.
When I make certain things, it reminds me of my mom and of my family. And so that could be a whole different episode. But you know, when I make foods, I think of my mom.
Yeah.
And I think people probably have those
memories
legacy, and
those
anchors
there's
as
legacy
well.
There.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's good.
Hey, speaking of that,
let's talk about food. Okay, you go.
Here's what I want to talk about.
I've done the last 2 weeks.
What I want to talk about. I want to talk about their meat counter. We're in the season burgers and dogs.
Who are we talking about?
Walnut Creek cheese.
Yeah.
Burgers and dogs.
We're in
the season of that. Walnut Creek Cheese and Market has a beautiful meat counter. And you know what I have to say about their meat counter too? I don't know if I remember this from places growing up, and maybe I just didn't pay attention, so don't come at me. But I love how they have things like bulk sausage where you can walk up to a meat counter and say, hey, I'm making breakfast for a group. I'd like 2 pounds of bulk sausage because I'm going to make patties.
Well, listen, you can say, give me a pound and a half of regular fresh sausage and then give me a half a pound of the hot Italian sausage because you want to mix a little.
Right. Or if you're making a nice burger mix, you can do like a really lean burger and add a little bit of more fat to really make them juicy. Their meat counter is beautiful.
Incredible.
And it's gorgeous. And if you visit them in Walnut Creek or in Berlin, you will find wonderful things.
Yeah.
And I know I've already talked about this before, but in regards to the burgers and dogs, I tried a new product from them and it was delicious. It was their dill sweet and hot pickles. They were good.
So good.
I got them here in Worcester. I'm all about transparency.
Okay.
I can't run. I know you run down there a lot.
I do.
You make the drive. I am a busy person between baseball games.
Yes.
And so at our local grocery stores carry Walnut Creek cheese products. Yeah,
they're good.
And so I got at our local grocery store, I got their sweet and hot pickles, and they are so delicious. And here's what I will say about them that I noticed when I got them.
Okay.
Sometimes when you get pickles, they're loose. They're loose in the jar. There's a lot of liquid and not a lot of pickle.
They're packed in there.
They pack that little pint jar full of pickles, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, I do too.
It goes back to value and to quality.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah. And you know, they're if you are in another state and you're like, well, I can't go to their fresh meat counter, you know what you can do? You can check out their beef jerky, because their beef jerky is called Uncle Mike's beef jerky, and it is fabulous. I did a charcuterie recently and put the teriyaki flavor on the board. It was so good. They have different varieties. It's so good.
And speaking of show notes, in our show notes, probably for the last 3 months, we've linked Walnut Creek Cheese and Market store. So the stores, they'll show you things that you can get shipped and delivered to your home. But you can also look at their product locator to see where those products are carried in the store near you.
Yep.
And so check that out, because you want to try some of their beautiful products. Yeah. We're so thankful for their partnership and the way that they've supported us since day one, because we've supported them since day one. Hey, thanks for joining us in this conversation all about the stuff in our home. Whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these are good days.
This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.